you guys. Time for another Flickers of Fear, my horror movie review show. So this movie I'm going to be talking about today, this is one that I kept seeing. It was just kept getting all this buzz and it kept coming up on these, you know, best horror movies of 2020 lists. And so finally, I think probably like a week or two before I'm recording this, Hulu added it. So I was like, ooh, so I added it to the list to review. And I finally ended up watching it this week. This is called She Dies Tomorrow. Now, this film, I think it was supposed to premiere at the South by Southwest Festival, but obviously that got delayed or canceled or whatever because of COVID. So it ended up getting picked up by Neon. And it ran in some drive-in theaters, so it had like a limited sort of theatrical release, but then it came to VOD the end of July. So basically, this is a story. Okay, so it's written and directed by Amy Semetz. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's a very recognizable actress, but she's also a writer and director. She's been in like a ton of indie stuff. I think she's on the HBO show The Killing. She was in Alien Covenant, and she was also in Pet Sematary, like the remake in 2019. She had directed some short films, and she also did one called Sun Don't Shine in 2012, which I haven't seen, but I have heard a little bit about it. So basically, this is kind of her second feature film that she's directing. Now, I don't know, this is for sure a psychological horror film. I would even call it maybe a philosophical horror film. It has a very strange, like almost meditative kind of vibe to it. And it has like, I mean, the cinematography is really cool. And it's just really, I don't know, there's something about like the tone and the mood of it that's really appealing. That said, if you're not really into more philosophical, more slow burn, more metaphorical type horror, then probably this is not for you. It really does seem like a lot of critics seem to really dig it. It seemed to have like, you know, 80-90% on Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot. But audience score is a lot more divided, and I can kind of see why. I will say I liked this movie, but I didn't love it. I kind of feel like I kind of got what it was saying, but I feel like it maybe belabored the point a little bit. And it's not very long. It's only like an hour and 25 minutes, something like that. It seemed actually kind of a lot longer than it was. But like I said, there's a lot of things to recommend it also. But just know going into it, this is not an action movie by any means. It's very slow paced. It's very languid. And it's very, there's not a ton of dialogue either. And also there's not really like a main protagonist, but it does have kind of a little bit of a plot sort of. So I'll kind of get into that. So basically the story starts out, there's this young woman named Amy, and all we know about her is that she has just bought a house, but she seems really bummed out about it. Like she seems really kind of out of it. Like she doesn't care. And she's just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? She's kind of like that. Now, at the beginning, she's talking to a friend of hers on the phone. You don't really know how they're friends or anything like that. But she's talking to this friend named Jane. And Jane initially seems like really worried about her because she's like, man, you sound really kind of out of it. Are you depressed? Are you okay? It kind of comes through. It's kind of implied later on that Amy is a recovering alcoholic or some type of addict. I assumed it was an alcoholic. And maybe Jane is afraid that she's having a relapse again. So Jane is kind of like, well, you know, I need to come over there because you sound like you're having some problems. But I told my brother that I would go to this birthday party for his wife, even though she hates me and I hate her. And it's this big thing. So after she hangs up with Jane, she starts just kind of hanging out in her house, behaving very strangely. She's just kind of like laying on the floor, like caressing the wood. She starts drinking a shit ton. She starts playing Mozart's, I think it's Lacrimosa, like just over and over and over again, like she's on her record player. And she's acting very, very strange. And sometimes there's like some weird visual cues too, where it's like a flashing red lights, flashing blue lights, things of that nature. And then she starts doing these weird searches on her laptop, like she's searching for funeral urns, and then she's searching for leather jackets for some reason. So you have this kind of whole thing going on, and that kind of goes on for, kind of a long time. And then Jane does actually come over there, At which point, Amy seems like she seems very, very drunk, and she also seems very, very depressed. And she keeps saying that she's going to die tomorrow, and that if she dies, you know, she's actually very sure that she's going to die tomorrow. So she tells Jane, will you make sure, because I really want, after I die, I want a leather jacket to be made out of my skin so I can be something useful. So she's saying things like that. So Jane is, you know, understandably quite alarmed by this, but Jane is, or rather Amy is insistent that she's going to die tomorrow. Now, interestingly, what happens from here is that the focus kind of shifts off of Amy to this point and goes on to Jane. Now, even though Jane had originally, like, she was kind of going to go to this birthday party, but she wasn't jazzed about it because she's like, look, it's my sister-in-law and I hate her. And we hate each other and it's going to be awkward. So she had kind of blown it off. But then later she decides that she doesn't want to be alone. So she goes to the party. Now she shows up at this party and she's all like disheveled and she has like pajamas on and shit like that. And then she starts saying that she is certain that she is going to die tomorrow also. So basically that's how the rest of the movie plays out. It's almost kind of like this idea that you're going to die tomorrow is sort of like a mind virus. And you can pass it from one person to another because Jane shows up at this party. It's not like a huge party. It's just like four or five people or whatever. And starts talking about how she's going to die tomorrow. And it essentially infects like the other people at the party, like the brother, the wife, and like two of their friends who were there. And then we kind of follow them as they kind of go about their lives and, you know, what that means. So it's very, very weird. It's this kind of like episodic following of each character as each character becomes infected with this idea that they're going to die tomorrow. And that's basically all that happens in this movie. So the movie, it's like, in a way, it's saying a lot about, I think that Amy Semetz like has said that she got the idea for the script for this by when she was telling people about anxiety attacks or panic attacks and how people would react to that. And it's a really, really interesting idea that fear is contagious. And I like the fact too that they kind of have this whole thing about death, and it's just it's weird how it worms its way into different people's thoughts, because, you know, when Jane comes to the party and starts talking about I'm gonna die tomorrow and she was certain about it, and at first everybody's just kind of like, whatever, you know, she's kind of nuts. But then some of the other party guests were like, you know, it's possible. It's like, you know, you got to die sometime. It's like, why wouldn't it be tomorrow? You know what I mean? And then from then, it just keeps like the infection keeps spreading. So you kind of follow that around. And then at the end, there's like a little bit of a flashback where you kind of find out that Amy, the original girl that was saying that she was going to die tomorrow, she apparently got it from her boyfriend, Craig, when they were at this, they had kind of done like a romantic getaway type thing or whatever. And at this cabin, and I guess everything had been normal, but then they ordered a pizza and you are led to believe that Craig was infected by it, like by the pizza guy. Like when you don't see the pizza guy, but you just see like Craig's back. Then when he comes back to the table, he's acting like really weird and like depressed and stuff. So you don't really know. So it's a very ambiguous film in the sense that you don't really know where this virus came from. You don't really know, you know, and this is maybe a spoiler, I guess, even though a movie like this, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. But you never find out if the people actually that said they were going to die tomorrow, if they actually do die tomorrow. The only person that you know for sure dies is Craig, because they kind of, when they do the flashback, like he killed himself, you're led to believe, or Amy might have killed him. They don't really specify that either. And they don't really tell you, but like I said, it's kind of like a philosophical or like a meditation on if you knew for sure that you were going to die tomorrow, like what would you do like with the end of your life and everything? That said, I love the idea of it. I love the idea of fear and death like as an infection, and like it can be passed from person to person just by someone talking about it. And like I said, it's kind of like an interesting idea of how fear can just spread throughout a community like very quickly just through words. I like that idea, but I do kind of feel like the movie was a little bit, I mean, it seemed like it was a little bit repetitive, like you kind of knew where it didn't like have a three act structure. And I'm not saying that movies have to have that. I'm just saying that once you got the gist of it, I feel like it just was kind of like more of that. You know what I mean? So it was just like following characters around, as they were like, oh, I'm going to die tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, and it manifested itself in slightly different ways, like with each person, but not different enough that I think it kind of merited a full length movie, I guess. I think this probably would have made a better short film, because I really did like the philosophical questions that it, posited. So I liked that kind of thing. And I even liked kind of the ambiguity, like you never really knew, like if most of the people that thought they were going to die tomorrow actually did die tomorrow, like you didn't know if it was like, it was a meteor going to hit the earth or some shit like that. And I was watching, someone else had done like a breakdown of this. And there was actually like a lot of really interesting like symbolism and sort of Easter eggs and stuff like that that was going on in the background that I kind of maybe didn't pick up on a lot of it. So that did give me a lot more appreciation for it. But overall, I don't know. I didn't find it like super, super compelling. Like I found it compelling enough to watch it to the end, but I thought it was a little bit slow, a little bit languid, and I just felt like it kind of belabored its point a little bit. That's all. But as I said, overall, it's a decent movie. If you like art flicks, it's visually beautiful. The acting's amazing. So and it has like some weird, like black humor in it as well, like a little bit of a black comedy kind of aspect to it. Not, I don't want to oversell that because it's pretty subtle, but it does have a little bit of that in it. But just if you know what you're getting into, it's, it's a decent flick, but it's, like I said, it's way more psychological horror, very subdued, but it's on Hulu at the moment, at least in the United States and when this is being recorded. So if you'd like to check it out for yourself, then by all means do so and let me know in the comments what you thought about it. And that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.